This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Harton joining us on the phone right now is NBC Sports Boston Celtics broadcaster, color commentator Brian Scalabrine. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow, and by findmassmoney.gov. Scal, how we doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, and I want to apologize for telling you guys to, you know, STFU last week.
No,
I was getting a little emotional, man. I'm just, you know, I just wanted to apologize in advance. I was uncalled for.
Do not apologize for anything, first of all. I was busting your balls. That was totally fine. And second of all, that clip did very well for us on online. So you have nothing to apologize
for.
We appreciate it. And by the way, I did not know that Drew Carter had so many fans on Twitter. There was a whole Drew Hive that attacked me after that, which, by the way, I was fine with too. But they came for my throat, Scal.
Drew Hive, maybe like a Drew's crew. Like, I think that's probably Drew's crew.
Drew's crew, yeah, I like that. So we know what Drew's been doing with the time off now. The Celtics
Simpsons.
With all this time off, he was doing that Simpsons broadcast. What have you been doing, Scal?
Oh, my gosh, what have I been doing? You know, like, I'm heavily involved in youth basketball.
Yes.
And I'm actually high school. I've been to a couple high school games this week. I'm heading to a girls' practice right now. So I've just been I've been really busy. I stay involved in basketball. I have no life outside of basketball. So that's what's been going on. And, you know, it's interesting, like, you know, the five games in seven nights. But leading up to that, we had, like, three games in 2 weeks. Now we have, like, two games in 11 days. So I'm making the most of that. But that 5-7 was tough. And we ended up getting bit by Memphis because of it, which was a really good game and a really good team. But I'm glad that's over, and I think we can kind of get back to a normal NBA schedule now.
So the way that Memphis game played out, Celtics didn't shoot well from three, Tatum, Holiday. I wanted to ask you about Holiday in particular. 4 of 17, seemed like Memphis was quite comfortable allowing him to shoot the three. Mm-hmm. Is that an issue he's going to face moving forward? Is that one of those, maybe that's a way to beat the Celtics, and is that a concern for you?
Yeah, so, you know, last year when we're on the broadcast, we call him King of the Corner. He led the league in corner threes last year and just, you know, whatever reason, hasn't shot it well this year. I kind of thought, like, when he took those two games off, whatever was going on with his knee, that it would kind of bounce back and shoot the ball better. You know, I think sometimes you got to ask yourself, like, for some guys that make deep runs, is the Olympics worth it? You know, Derek White seemed to be doing fine. Tatum seems to be doing fine. But, like, you know, was it worth it? I'm sure the gold medal, two-time gold medalist, made it worth it for him. But, you know, yeah, I mean, those are things that the Celtics might have to address. You know, if Hauser didn't get hurt, would it have been a thing? I don't know why Pritchard didn't play more and they put him in that position and put Drew down at the dunker. It was a weird game. But maybe a lot of that did have to do with, you know, like the really tough schedule that they went through. But we'll see. I think a lot of teams tried the Jaylen Brown thing. The Warriors last year backfired, so maybe it's just a new way to try to stop the Celtics. It's to allow Holiday to shoot those corner threes wide open.
John Morant had a big game. Obviously, that's a guy that you focus on when you play that Memphis team. What's been your impressions overall on the defensive production and defensive effort of this team so far through 24 games this year?
So we're a lot better since Porzingis came back, but it doesn't mean, like, when he's on the court, we're good, and when he's off the court, we're bad. We've been, like, really good across the board with Porzingis back. And, you know, I don't have any problem with our defense except for our paint defense has been really bad, like, up until the Porzingis return. We're trending the right direction, We do have to get better in the paint. Not only, you mentioned Ja Morant, and that was, he was definitely putting on a show. Like, that dunk was ridiculous. Mm. I couldn't even imagine what he did. But how about Jaren Jackson Jr. just like isoing us from the top and going to work, right? So, yeah, we kind of need to do a little bit better job of defending the paint. I know some of those shots were tough, but if there was a weakness in this team, and you remember when we had Brad Stevens on, like, he was like, it was interesting because we hit 12 threes, which was a franchise record. Might have been a tied an NBA record for most threes in a quarter with Brad on, but our paint defense still wasn't very good, and you could tell he was like a little bit frustrated with that when he was on the broadcast with us. But it's something that we have to improve. I don't know why they wouldn't improve it as it goes along. Like, we're kind of nitpicking if we think that that's going to stay that way. But I have seen an uptick in our paint presence since Porzingis returns.
We've talked a lot on this show about Celtics' potential would-be rivals and who the rival is. It looks like Milwaukee has certainly re-entered the conversation, and it's led by the Jaylen Brown, Giannis thing. Do those guys hate each other? Is there a real deal thing going on here?
Well, I think I think the difference is Jaylen Brown has a really serious approach to his game. Like, there's a lot of guys nowadays that laugh and joke and, you know, and that kind of stuff, and like, they're playful. So that doesn't mean they're not competitors. It's just like they have that way about them. Jaylen Brown is not that way. Like, that's just not the way he carries himself. He doesn't joke around a lot in press conferences or anything like that. So I think when Giannis does silly things, or, you know, that elbow or pulls his hand back, I don't think Jaylen Brown takes that as a playful gesture, which other people may or may not. I don't know. But it does seem like the league is kind of lax on that. Like, you know, back in the day, there was the retaliation factor. I'm not sure that that exists nowadays. But as far as, like, the Bucks, I don't want to be dismissive of them because, like, they've been so good in the past. But if you watch them, they're so inconsistent. Their defense is so inconsistent. Last night, you're talking about an Orlando team going on the road, and they had them beat, but they couldn't sustain it. And Orlando came back and won by three. Personally, with 51 seconds to go and Giannis dribbling the ball up, I would have just wrapped him up and fouled him, put him on the free throw line instead of allowing Damian Lillard to have the ball. I think there's a lot of holes in what Milwaukee does. And Giannis was at the there was a point in which he could make up for that, or everyone else was younger. I'm not sure that's the point anymore. The league has changed a lot. They play a little slower, methodical. I know people think that they're back, but I'm not sure I'm on board with that.
We're talking with Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Scal, is the sale of the team, which is still sort of lingering over everything, is that something that creeps into your mind at all when you're calling these games and sort of looking at this roster and all these guys making all this money and locked up to long-term deals and into the second apron and sort of all that stuff? Is that something that you consider at all as you look at this team and its future?
No, I don't, and I'll tell you the reason why. And my numbers could be a little bit off with this. When the expansion teams come in, let's say they're $6 billion each, every team is going to get a check for $400 million, right? Like, that's just divided amongst 30 teams. So whatever aprons or taxes that we have paid or are going to pay, which I don't even know if we go into the red with the team, how much money they're making, I have no idea. I would think like a nice big fat check for $400 million would cover whatever it is. And when you have a chance to kind of build a dynasty, I think you kind of push the whole money thing aside. And I don't know if the sale of the team will make a difference on any of that when it comes to this team, or if someone would break up the team, or where they're at with the big check coming from the expansion teams. I have no idea. I just think when you have it's very hard nowadays to create quote unquote dynasties, right? A dynasty is anything that lasts 5 years, right? So we're in year two of that after winning a championship. I think that this team can keep it together for a little bit. We probably have some answers on the Al Horford if he gets older, you know, like that whole thing, or maybe Drew Holiday, as you mentioned, but we got a lot of wings and guys that have good contracts that are coming up. And plus, the TV money that just kicked in is going to make salaries escalate and salary caps. So we're going to be under one of those aprons eventually. So I think we're in a good position given that all those contracts were signed before the big TV deal.
It's not exactly a buy like the Patriots had, but certainly there's more time in the schedule for the Celtics here this week leading into next week. How can the team utilize that beyond just rest? Does self-scouting go on? Do things like that happen in the world of basketball where maybe they can reset with a little fresh air to their schemes or whatever?
Yeah, it's not. It's probably like Joe Mazzulla trying some new things out,
yep.
Right? So like, okay, like I'm pretty sure we saw a couple zone in there. He's not doing the 2-1-2 that he did last year, which I hated. I never thought we had great success. And I could tell on the players' face, they weren't like 100% behind it. But I'm sure he'll experiment with something else, try something. And then, but a lot of times it's players getting their work done. Like a lot of players like to get their shots, like to get their body work, like to get their lifts. And when you get breaks, you get that. That's why, like, I'm a big believer in I'd rather have back-to-backs and 2 days off than every other. I think you can get more work done that way, right? You get a time to kind of reset and then time to get some really good work done. But the players have complained about back-to-back, so they've kind of gone away. But I like really condensed schedules and then time off. I did as a player. You know, I don't know how the guys feel about that, but I know when there's gaps, Joe Mazzulla loves it. I know he loves getting back into the gym. I know he loves practicing. I know he loves having good practices and good film sessions. So I think that the Celtics will take advantage of this. And I also know, like, that whole Stay Ready group who are getting a lot of minutes this year, those guys need to get back into the gym and do the things that they used to do an hour and a half before practice. Like, everyone has to find their routine all over again. And you could do that when you get these big gaps. But it's not happening when you have 5-7. But when you have 2-11, you're going to get a lot of good practice time and a lot of time to grow.
Scal, before we let you go here, which Boston Celtic would you say has most exceeded your expectations going into the season at this point, 24 games in, if you had to pick one?
I've always been a believer in Pritchard. I thought he'd average like 12 this year. Him winning Sixth Man of the Year would be amazing. So Pritchard has exceeded my expectations, but not in a negative way. It's not like I didn't believe in him. I always believed in Peyton Pritchard. So I think him... and I think Kata and Cornette, given the role that they had with Porzingis out, has been awesome. And I'll even throw Al Horford in that. You know, Al Horford's going to get old one day. He's just not showing any signs of slowing down at this point.
You told us the story about Flag, and you just mentioned your connection to high school and youth basketball. I saw that the Brockton kid, A.J. DeBonza, just committed.
Yep.
When was the last time New England had the back-to-back number one recruits in the country, and do you have any connection to him?
Yeah, me and his dad are really close. I used to go to a lot of his games and play pickup with them when they were at St. Sebastian because the guy who's the director of my Team White Mamba AAU program was the assistant coach there. So I'd go into the gym and watch him work. My man was a freak of nature, and now he's starting to get really strong. I'll give you a quick story. Like, him and Cooper Flagg went to Jason Tatum's basketball camp in the summer. And I asked Tatum about Flag, and he was like, yeah, Flag's nice. Like, he has a good feel. I like his attitude. Like, he has that edge to him. But A.J. DeBonza, he was like, man, he's a freak of nature. I've never seen an athlete like that in high school before. So even Jason Tatum was seriously impressed with A.J. But, I don't know why New England has risen up like that or why it hasn't been like that in the past. It could just be an anomaly in a way. But both guys have great families. I'm close with both of their families. And they're really good. Like, they have the right attitude to be good players.
Brian Scalabrine, thank you so much for the time. Always great to talk with you, and we look forward to hearing you and Drew on these broadcasts coming up. Detroit, Washington, couple games in Chicago, and of course Christmas and everything else coming up there. Thanks so much.
All right. Sounds good. See you.
All right. Thank you, Scal. That is Brian Scalabrine. He just mentioned St. Sebastian's. I got a little St. Sebastian story.
Oh, do you now?
So when I was in high school, my senior year.
It better be good.
We're playing St. Sebastian's. And
what sport is this?
Basketball.
Okay.
And we were running a half-court trap.
Okay.
I come over. I was in the middle.
Yep.
I come over. Guy's bringing the ball up. We trap him. He gets caught in the corner. He's struggling, trying to get it out. Throws it out. I get my hand on the ball. Take it back the other way for a layup. Guess who I stole it from? Rick Pitino's kid.
Oh, great story.
Nice.
Richard Pitino.
He's a coach at
Minnesota.
Minnesota now.
Yep.
You
but
stole the ball.
But before that, he was the backup point guard for St. Sebastian's High School.
Look at that.
And I lured him right into my trap, and boom, 2 points the other way.
Look at, and didn't even choke on the layup or anything.
No, I didn't. I made the layup.
Who's the real White Mom?
Pretty big deal for me, I got to say. You know, I didn't score a lot of points.
You actually see even good players every once in a while on those breakaways in high school, like miss an easy layup.
Yeah, for sure.
especially the glass is different at different places sometimes. Mm-hmm. And look at you with his big boy story there.
Yeah.
The real White Mamba. You're right, Stiz.
That's right. That's right. And I'm sure that really haunted Richard Pitino for years.
How did you fare when EEI, didn't we shoot, we had like an event where we shot, there was like
some Fourier's thing. And I didn't get to be part of it.
Oh, that's right.
They let Mego be in it and not me.
It's not an issue. Don't worry, Stiz.
And then Fourier the morning, he's like, oh, by the way, we got an extra spot if you want it. And I was there with George. So I was like, okay. I rush George over to my mother-in-law's. I fly out to Alston. And by the time I get there, I change into my shirt. I'm ready to go. And they're like, yeah, we're not doing any more shooters. And they,
right.
You know what?
Because no,
they were
that.
Scared. Dana Barros and Scal were scared of what I was going to do. They were scared of what they were going to see. And I don't blame them either. I would have been scared, too, if I saw myself walking into the gym, knowing that it was just a shooting with no one defending me type of situation, because that's where I excel.
Do you shoot a lot?
You know. Not as much this past year. Since George was born, I've been cutting down on my going over to the playground and shit. I don't have a hoop in my house or anything. But there was a playground down the street. Still is a playground down the street I used to go to when we first moved. And I used to shoot there like 2-3 times a week.
You know who I'd like to see you play?
Who?
Curran.
Oh, yeah. Curran's got some game.
And I think you both would get competitive, and I think there's a chance a fight would ensue. So
oh, for sure.
I would absolutely love to see you and Curran.
I'm all elbows in the post.
Man. Oh, I can imagine.
Ask Richard Pitino.
Giannis.
He'll tell you. 617.
Wait, you didn't say you elbowed him before you stole the ball. Oh, I mean, okay.
That is a key detail that we've been missing this whole time.
You broke his nose and then stole the ball.
It just went from a game to an assault.
Right. Hey, Pitino still breathes wrong because you clocked him in the nose 20
like
years
a
ago.
Click in his nose because you snapped it.
The refs didn't call it. What do you want from me? 617-779-7937. Next break, I'll tell you the story about the time Dan Gadzurek sent one of my layups into the fifth row. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we return, the Boston Bruins got the you know what kicked out of them last night, but at least they won their fights. We'll get to that in a new segment called Fight Night here on WEEI Afternoons. Right after Dan Ball, get you caught up on what's trending.